The holidays can get a little competitive. Whose house is covered in the most decorative lights? Whose sweater is the most festive? Whose gingerbread house is eaten the fastest? Whose gift is most thoughtful? Well, there's one part of the holidays that's not a competition, and that's who brings you those gifts. Because at the United States Postal Service, we deliver more online purchases to homes than anyone else in the country. That's right, anyone, even you-know-who.
Ho, ho, ho!
The United States Postal Service. Priority, you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the VRO. It's Friday, June 24th, 2011, at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight's hosts are myself, JC, which I have to get used to hearing, and my co-host is Jessica. Hi, Deb.
Hi, guys. We're going to get used to the other guests being JC now so that the our guests aren't confused. So I know it's going to be rough, but I know we can do it. She's going to be the one that's going to have the hard time, right, Jess?
Yeah, I am. Well, I do have people who do call me JC, but very rarely, so it's going to be hard for me to remember, okay, that's me. But it should be easier once we get used to it. In any case, we're really excited today. We have a special guest. Lindsay Gray has had the itch to write since from a very young age. She started writing on her parents' old computer. And although Lindsay, you know, has a husband and two children and a full-time job, she still found time to write her second book and first supernatural genre romance, Redemption. The VRO is very pleased to welcome Lindsay Gray. Are you there, Lindsay?
Yes, I'm here. Hello. Good evening.
Welcome to the VRO.
I'm excited to be here.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Lindsay was telling us off air that she actually listened to us on and off for a couple of years now, and it always makes me giggle because we've come so far from where we were. So,
well, you were talking about being nervous, and I'm not usually nervous, but I'm nervous if we have a guest that is a listener too. That does make me nervous because then you don't know what they expect because I don't really know how they really hear us on the other end, you know. So. But we're happy to have you, Lindsay. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to get to talk to people about my book.
Oh, well, we're
excited. It's one of my favorite things to do.
That's right. Well, we're excited to let everybody hear about it. And so we'll start off by saying, can you give us a brief synopsis of Redemption for those listeners who have not had an opportunity to read your work?
Sure. The story is centered around Lily Edwards. And the little twist to this vampire-type novel is that she is actually the last remaining female vampire in existence. And there's two male vampires, but of course she's the last remaining female, so she's kind of important in the big scheme of things. And at the beginning of the story, she decides to leave her human boyfriend to keep him safe. You know, because she's afraid of the people that are coming after her and of her feelings getting too intense. Mm-hmm. So she takes off for Iceland, and he becomes extremely depressed, and he seeks out her adopted daughter, which is Becca Swift, who's an FBI agent. And she and the boyfriend, which is Ian, they take off on an adventure to find Lily, and along the way they meet up with some more angels and demons and lots of other worldly creatures, and through some twists and turns and bumps in the road, they lead to an interesting conclusion.
Well, that
so I don't want to give too much away.
Right, well, that kind of opens up to my next question, and it was, what is the significance of Lily being the only female vampire in existence? Are vampires only able to turn the opposite sex, and why aren't there more than three in existence?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with only being able to turn the opposite sex. Actually, I haven't had that question posed to me. There was a war between the vampires they this is not gone into heavily in this book. It is briefly mentioned that back in the 1970s, there was a commotion between the vampires that existed, the ones that believed it was okay to feed off humans and the ones that decided they didn't want to feed off humans. And through that war, Lily and the two male vampires, DeBeer and Philippe, were the only ones left standing. And all three of them went under the umbrella of a group called the Manchester Group, which is actually a group of otherworldly creatures, mainly fallen angels and some reformed demons that have are trying to work their way back into, you know, the heavenly graces. And through that, the Manchester Group implanted a device in them that monitors how much human blood they drink and how much venom they exchange. So
okay.
They can't turn anybody else.
All right, that
that's very interesting. And I'm sure you'll probably go into more of that well, I'm not going to have it myself. There have been many books about vampires and many
right.
books about vampires and other supernaturals. However, this book seems to be unique in that it incorporates vampires, other supernaturals, and angels into the same kind of genre.
Yes.
Can you tell us where your inspiration came from?
Well, originally, I created the character of Lily and kind of built her world around that. I am a Christian. I won't go into detail how Christian I am, but I've always been fascinated with angels and demons, and I wanted to incorporate them in this story, and I wanted to have a way for Lily to be able to reconnect with her human life, and that's where a particular angel comes into the picture.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the Admonites and why they were wiped out of existence? I know, but for people who may have read the book and might have some questions, but the Admonites, I was listening to another interview that you had done earlier mm-hmm. in the week, and the Admonites were a creation of your very own. And
yes.
because of, and I had never heard of them before, so I was glad to hear in the other interview that they were a creation of your own. But if you could tell us a little bit more about them, how you came about
sure.
Creating them, and why it does explain in the book very briefly why they were kind of wiped out of existence.
The Ammonites were basically a place for me to start. I am not saying, you know, vampires do exist in the real world. I'm not saying that. But, you know, there's so many different legends of where the beginning was. Well, I didn't want to have a definite beginning because, you know, I don't actually know. What I know is the beginning of their story. And their Lily's line began with a quartet of vampires that moved from Samaria to Jerusalem around the time of Jesus Christ and his life and his death. And they found this interesting race of people outside of Jerusalem, and they were known as the Ammonites. And they were had a particular eye color, and a crystal blue eye color, which was very different for that area of the world. And it was a chemical attraction, not necessarily a physical attraction, but a chemical attraction that led them to want to nurture off of each other. And eventually, the Ammonites would gain vampiric traits each with each feeding, and so when they got too strong or could not handle the traits, they were either killed or turned into vampires. And through thousands of years, a lot of the Admonites didn't feel that it was right for people to be feeding off of each other. And so that's what caused this disruption in the ranks, I guess. They decided, you know, this isn't the right thing to do anymore. So they wanted it to end.
Very good.
I'm very sorry about that. I have a 14-year-old son, and he just picked up the phone, so I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. I really am sorry. Okay. All right. Now that you've explained that for everyone that hasn't read the book, I know that a lot of people are going to be really excited because, you know, the supernatural genre right now, it is the it thing. Is that what made you decide to want to write a book in that genre, or were you just really interested? I'm just curious. That's a question that I had separate. So.
Well, as I said, I'm really interested in angels and demons, and then the whole vampire aspect. I sat down and I wanted to write a science fiction supernatural novel, but I wanted it to be different. I didn't want it to be anything like anybody had read before. So that's kind of where I had to really sit down and think outside the box and think, okay, how can I make this, you know, about vampires and angels and demons, but make it different from the norm? So.
Okay. Well,
I had to do. I mean,
Redemption left us with a pretty big cliffhanger. I'm assuming, is there a second book planned, and have you started it
yet?
Yes. Okay.
Yes, there is a second book planned, and there's actually a third book planned. The second book is revisited, but we do not have a date pinned down for release yet, hopefully in 2012. So.
Well, that's pretty cool. So we'll definitely get to know what happens to Ian eventually then.
Yes, yes. A lot of people were kind of a little bit on the fence about what's going on with Ian. So, I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but you will definitely find out what happens with him in the beginning of the next
book. That one, I wasn't sure how I felt at the end of that book. I was like, and I won't say anything, but I was kind of like, how can she possibly resolve this issue and make this turn out okay? Or maybe it won't turn out okay. Well, will I be okay with that ending?
I never know.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, I always say I want to give everybody the happily ever after, but sometimes people got to get hurt on the way there. So
that's
right.
You
know,
they can't all
live. That's what makes a good book. So
yeah.
Well, we have a lot of aspiring writers that listen to the VRO. Can you give them your best advice about the writing process and the publishing process as well?
The writing process is, for me, I have to write whenever I get a chance. So for me, it's organization. I have a notebook where I write down different ideas. If something pops into my head, I automatically go there and write it down because I have to be organized because I have a limited amount of time to sit down and type at the computer. As far as the publishing process, I have heard so many horror stories, and I spent probably about seriously sending out queries for about 2 years before I found my publishing company, the Writer's Coffee Shop Publishing House. And I think those 2 years, it was me waiting for them to get their stuff together to start the publishing house, because it just opened in the last October. And they are the perfect fit for me. They are an awesome group of women and men who really care about their writers, and they really care about the products of the work that we are doing. So, and they are actually, like our CEO is actually a writer herself, so she wanted to be able to be a publishing company, writers for writers, so I was lucky enough to find them. But I would say, I mean, even after rejection after rejection after rejection, if it's something you love, don't ever stop. If it's your passion, if it's your life, if it's the thing that drives you to get up and out of bed in the morning, don't ever stop. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not doing it right. Just keep plugging at it, and hopefully fingers crossed, one day it will get to the end that you want, or the beginning.
Well, my 15-year-old wants to be a writer, and I was curious. I'm assuming when you first write a book, the very first book you ever write that you want to try to get published, you take the finished project to the publishers, right? You don't, like, just go with an outline or anything. I mean, you have to take them the whole entire project and turn it in.
What I did when I toured with different companies, a lot of companies want a chapter, some want the full thing, some just want a full summary. With the Writer's Coffee Shop, I sent them a query letter with a 2,000-word full summary. They want to know what happens beginning to end. Mm-hmm. And then they asked me to team up with an editor, and I sent them the full manuscript at that point.
Okay.
So, yeah. It just kind of depends on where you're going at. But, if you have a solid story, you know, you don't necessarily have to have the whole thing written. If you have a summary and you begin and you say, okay, this is what I'm doing and this is where the end is going to be, I have the first X amount of chapters and
right.
I plan on this many chapters in the final draft, you know, you can always go that route too, so...
I did have a question that you briefly touched on in the last question, but you have a family and a full-time job. And
yes.
I know it's hard to find. You just mentioned that you have to find time to write whenever you can. When do
yes.
you wind up finding this? How do you find the time with a full-time job and a family?
Usually it is in the very wee hours of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
My husband works first shift and I work second shift, so I usually get home around midnight. So usually from about 12:15 to 2 or 3 a.m. So
wow.
Those are the and usually if I've gotten major ideas during the day, it's able to flow really quickly and I get a couple of thousand words down, and it's kind of my release time because I've had the whole day to think about what I want to write, and then I get to sit down and just go. So
very good. Well, I have a follow-up question regarding that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do have a family and a full-time job, do you actually allow your, like, especially since you have, your husband works for first shift and you work second shift, you kind of, like, pass all the time.
Yeah.
You ever leave him little snippets of the book and say, hey, you want to take a look at this and see what you think? Or do you normally keep your writing to yourself until you're ready to present it?
A lot of times I will chat with him about it, and I don't leave him little notes because he is actually... I've given him the summary, and he's read the summaries, but he has not sat down and read either of the books.
Wow.
He knows what they're about. Yeah. He's not a very big reader, which is very strange for me to be the writer in the family, and he doesn't read very much. But he was a great help on this book and the ending. There was a certain location that I needed to pin down, and I was like, where do I want this scene to happen? Where do I want this to happen? He was like, oh, I know. I saw this thing on the Discovery Channel the other day. What about this and this and this and this? And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's a really good idea. So.
Yeah. They made his mark on it, so that's good.
Yeah.
Right. Can you tell us who... some of your favorite authors are? Some of your favorite authors?
I like Kelly Armstrong. I like John Grisham. I like, I like so many different genres. The last series I read was by Molly Harper, the Jameson series. But I like so many different things. I actually don't really read that many, like, romance, strictly romance novels. And a lot of people mm-hmm. have billed both Redemption and my first book as a romance novel. And I don't really, I know they have romance in them, but I don't really see myself as a romance writer. So it's kind of a little bit funny.
Well, I'm wondering, do you listen to any kind of music while you write, or what do you like to have going on in the background?
For this book, oddly enough, I listened to a lot of Robbie Williams, a British singer, and his song, Feel, was actually one of the catalysts that helped me create my character of Lily. So, I love that song. I listen to it every day. And so that really helped me. And I've got on my blog, I've got a list of, I've got a little music player with a lot of music that helped me and inspired me. And I've got character bios and songs that inspired me with each of the characters. So.
Well, that's neat. You just need to know what inspires you.
I'm sorry?
I said it's neat to know what inspires you when you write.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I had stuck in my throat.
Okay.
Before we went live, nobody knows, so I'll just tell everybody because it seems weird now. But I was trying to eat pizza really quick before we went live, and I had put too much red pepper on my pizza, and it's still my mouth is still burning. It's crazy. I mean, I ate like a half a pizza. So I don't know. It's been an evening of you know what. So sorry.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
What? Let me see if I can phrase this correct, because it just came up. What made you decide at this point to go for it? You know, to just say, you know what, this is important to me. Even though, I mean, I know people have, they have hobbies that they like to do on their spare time, and they never really kind of progress past that. What made you actually say, you know what, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to give it a shot, and I'm not going to just let it be a hobby. I want to make this go. Was there something that kind of, like, kicked you into gear, or did you just decide one day, you know, that's it, I'm doing it?
Well, I think it was, I sat down and I kind of was evaluating what was going on in my life at the time, and I was like, do I really want to keep on this path, or do I want to say, because, you know, I have a job and I love my job. It doesn't pay very well as far as monetary, but it is a very rewarding job, but it's a job. It's not a career. And I said, do I want a career in something that I love? And I said, yes, absolutely. And I sat down with my husband and I said, I'm going to try to make a go of this. And I sat down and started writing Redemption. And actually, I got, once I started writing it, I veered off severely from my original outline and I got stuck. I knew where I needed to go, but I couldn't exactly get there. So I actually set it aside for almost 2 years. And I wrote my other novel, which was the first one that was published in December, which was a completely different genre. And then through that process, being able to find my publisher with that story, I was able to figure out my way back to Redemption and figure out where I needed to go and how I needed to get there. So I knew that this is my career now. I am a writer.
Mm-hmm.
I am an author.
Well, what are you doing?
I have a full-time job, but I have a career.
Well, I was curious, what kind of job do you do? I mean, do you mind saying? Because, I mean, do you actually have something where writing is part of your life? Like, do you teach or do anything like that? Or is it just
No, I actually work in a hospital, so...
Okay, so that's completely two different things.
So I take care of people for a living. So,
Well, that's a good way to get storyline, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny that I asked that question before because I'm actually kind of in the same spot right now. And, you know, there's I have a job, and it's a job.
Right.
And I don't mind the job so much. But like you said, it doesn't pay a lot. And and it's not what I really, really want to do. So it was funny because I was having this conversation with somebody yesterday, and he was saying, you know, I keep hearing all these reasons why you can't do something. And I want to start hearing reasons why you can. And, you know, every once in a while when I get fed up and I say, you know, that's it, I'm going to run away and join the Ren Faire and, you know, do whatever I do on the side. On the side, of course, I do the Ren Faire, my seasonal business. But it's really kind of more of a hobby right now than it is anything else. And it's an inspiration to hear that somebody else very much in the same situation that I was in decided, was brave enough to say, you know, this is what I'm going to do and I'm not going to let anybody stop me. So it's kind of a little bit of an inspiration to me, and maybe I'll give it a little bit more thought about
definitely
making it a little bit myself.
Yes, and I would be more than happy to chat with you about it. I'm sure your writing is wonderful.
So, very good. I just wanted to find out if anybody has any questions. We are taking questions in the chat room. Jess, do you have any more questions? Oh, I do have one, but Jess, do you have any more questions?
No, you can go ahead with what you got.
Okay. I was going to ask, for people who have not had a chance to read the book, where can they find it? Where is it? Is it only in ebook format at this point, or is it
ebook format for Nook, Kindle, PDF, and EPUB, but is also in paperback. You can order either the ebook or the paperback from the publisher's website, which is thewriterscoffeeshop.com/publishinghouse. I believe the ebook is also available on Amazon.com and Lulu.com. I know we're working with some other sites to be able to carry it. I know BarnesandNoble.com is carrying my first book in paperback, but I think that's the only other place where we have the paperbacks available. So,
okay.
Well, do you want to tell everybody what the first book's name is so that they can, if they can't find one, they use the other?
Oh, yes. The first book is called Lies Inside. It's actually kind of billed as a suspense thriller, but, it's got that romance aspect, I guess, too. But it's a good read.
Very good. And I do have one more question for you. And that is, I know you've been doing kind of the online book tour. Do you have any plans to actually go on site and do any book tours?
I don't have any solid plans right now. I have hopes and aspirations, but nothing that has been solidified yet.
Okay. All right. Well, then we are running out of time, so I do want to let everybody know that the name of the book is Redemption. It is by Lindsay Gray, and if you have not had a chance to check it out, I read fast, Jess reads fast, so that's kind of why we're doing this, but it's a good read. It's a fast read, it's a quick read. I mean, it moves along pretty quickly. There's no kind of time for moss to grow underneath your feet with this book, so definitely go check it out. And Lindsay, how can people get in contact with you?
You can get in contact with me. I'm on Facebook and Twitter, both LindsayGray11. I have a blog, which has a lot of nice extras, which is lindsay-gray.blogspot.com. And so those are the main ways that you can get a hold of me. I check those usually every day. So I'd be more than happy to hear from any of you.
Good,
all right,
great.
Lindsay, well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate you coming on the VRO.
Thank you. I feel very privileged actually getting to talk to you guys after listening to your voices on and off for years. So it's nice change.
Thank you. And if you have any other books, definitely email Amy and come back. And we ask all of our guests to provide us with a soundbite, and I'm sure you've heard us ask before. So if you wouldn't mind, whenever you're ready, you can say anything you want to, you know, with the ending, you're listening to the VRO, and we'd really appreciate it.
This is Lindsay Gray, author of Redemption, and you are listening to the VRO.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lindsay. Have a wonderful night.
Will do.
Good night.
And for all those listening, actually, we just went into, we're not no longer streaming, but if, for those of you who are listening in the archives, please remember that the True Blood season premiere is on Sunday, and because of that, our True Blood talk on Monday is coming back at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Normally, my previous hosts were Courtney and Amber, Dina. Well, now I have the privilege of welcoming your very own Jess and Josh. So I'm looking forward to hosting True Blood with you guys, and I hope you guys will join us.
Do you love movies, music, books, television? You do? Then come on over to the VRO on Blog Talk Radio. We have shows for all your obsessions. Vampires, we've got them. The latest blockbuster movies, they're right here. Bands and books, music and fiction, it's all at the VRO. What are you waiting for? Log on to the VRO today. www.thevro.com.
Thanks, everybody, and have a great night.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you loved the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.